Hello and welcome to Dialogue Sunday Gospel Study. Today is December 15th, 2024. I'm Christian Kimball, currently chair of the Dialogue Foundation and co-host of this Dialogue program. Michael, let's see. I haven't seen Michael yet. I'm going to introduce the rest of the participants here. Our teacher today is Darren Perry. Darren is the former chairman of the Northwestern Band of the Shoshone Nation. Darren serves on the board of directors for the American West Heritage Center in Wellsville, Utah, the Utah State Museum Board, the Community Advisory Board for the Huntsman Cancer Institute, the Utah Humanities Board, and the PBS Utah Board of Directors. He attended the University of Utah and Weber State University and received his bachelor's degree in secondary education with an emphasis on history. Darren is the author of The Bear River Massacre, A Shoshone History, and teaches Native American history at Utah State University. His passions in life are his wife, Melody, 7 children, and 14 grandchildren. His other passion is his tribal family. He wants to make sure that those who have gone before him are not forgotten. Let's see, I have 11 grandchildren. You're winning, Darren. Joe Bennion and Linda Kibble are with us and will offer prayers and be with us for the discussion. Joe Bennion is a well-known potter with works in museums, but more importantly, on dining room tables all over the country. Joe is a river man, my friend, and one of the handful of people, one of the handful of people I have back trusted with my life and safety. Linda Kimball is my partner, spouse, companion, whatever today's appropriate language. Linda is a member of the Dialogue Board and published in more different Mormon-flavored venues than anyone else we can think of. Rebecca DeSchweinitz is with us and making sure everything works right. Thank you, Rebecca. Rebecca is also a member of the Dialogue Foundation Board and co-host for this program. It's my turn to speak, but I like it better when Rebecca's turn. We're going to begin today with music, with a version of the Huron Carol. I've chosen this version because it is linguistically rich. The Huron Carol is a famous, well-known Canadian carol. The lyrics were written in the 17th century by a French-Canadian priest missionary who learned the Wyandot language and wrote in that language, Wyandot or Huron. So the original is in the Wyandot language. It's been translated into French, into English, and as you will see, performed in several languages. Let's see, who are we beginning with? I think Joe will ask you to give the opening prayer and Linda to give the closing prayer.
Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we come to thee this morning to listen, to learn, and to have our consciousness opened and our hearts softened. We thank thee for this beautiful day. We thank thee for the air that we breathe, the water we drink, the earth that we are made of and that we walk upon, for the sun that provides the energy that fuels all of this amazing embodiment we find ourselves in. We pray for thy spirit to be here among separated by miles. We pray to be one in mind, and we ask a special blessing on our brother Darren. Please give him utterance. Watch over his family. Give him a good heart today. We thank thee again for all things and for this beautiful thing that we are involved in. And we say this in the name of our Christ and Savior Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Darren, the floor is yours.
Well, let me just say this. Thank you for that prayer, Joe. I appreciate that. And Rebecca, for the invitation to join you guys today. Oh, this year's been great for me. I probably attended Sunday school more than I ever have in my life because of the topic and what the Book of Mormon means to me. So I kind of how I want to approach this is I want to take a couple of minutes and talk about the importance of the Book of Mormon to me personally. I want to talk about the role that Moroni and Mormon, his dad, played in those last days. And then maybe end with just a thought on Christmas and as it relates to the Book of Mormon. But hopefully at the end, if people have comments or I would like to share their thoughts on that, I think I'm going to leave enough time. I'll take about 30 minutes or so. And so be thinking about things that you might want to add at the end to enrich all of us. Mine's one perspective. And so, but I'm grateful to be here. So the Book of Mormon is often referred to as another testament of Jesus Christ. But it's much more than that. It's a divine witness of God's love for his children and that sacred record that was meant for our time. It stands as a powerful companion to the Bible, and my wife was a Southern Baptist her whole life, and so those connections are important to me. And they testify of Christ's mission and his teachings, but especially the atonement. Through its pages, we learn not only about ancient civilizations, but also about eternal truths that bring us closer to God and help us navigate the challenges of life. The Book of Mormon invites all those who, with an invitation to read it, to come unto Christ. And it carries a promise for those that who sincerely study it seriously and pray about its teachings that they can know for themselves, if it's true. One of the greatest strengths of the Book of Mormon for me is its clarity in teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It explains the doctrine of Christ, faith, repentance, baptism, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, and enduring to the end in a way that is plain and simple. For those who seek truth, it provides answers to life's greatest questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? It lays out God's plan for happiness and reminds us of the covenants that we make with him, which bind us to the Savior that allows us to receive his grace. The Book of Mormon also serves as the voice of warning and a guide for those living in these latter days. The prophets who wrote its pages saw our day and were inspired to record teachings and events that would help us avoid the pitfalls and find safety in Christ. From the stories of individuals such as Nephi and Abinadi to the larger accounts of communities turning to or turning away from God, the Book of Mormon teaches us that obedience, humility, and trust in the Lord are keys to finding joy and happiness in this life. It also shows us the dangers of pride, contention, and forgetting the Lord, which are all lessons that I think are relevant to us today. The Book of Mormon is a testament to the power of personal revelation. As we study it, we feel the Spirit that confirms its truth and guides us in our lives. It encourages us to seek answers directly from God, just as Joseph Smith did in the Sacred Grove. The invitation to ask, to seek, to knock is central to the book's message. For me, it assures us that we are never alone, and he is always there, aware, and to guide us. As a Native American man, the Book of Mormon is more than just a book of scripture. And yes, I know the discoveries of DNA and other things, what I like to call distractions, complicates the narrative just a bit. But I still value the sacred text as history, as prophecy, as a deep source of spiritual connection, not only for me personally, but to my ancestors and the promises that have been made to them specifically in these last days. Growing up, I always felt a connection to the stories of the Lamanites, who were the people of my heritage. As I read the Book of Mormon, I see the faces of my ancestors within their pages. I recognize their struggles, their victories, their heartaches. In the Book of Mormon, I find a reflection of my own journey. And though it may seem strange to some of you, I believe that the Lamanites, the people who are so central to this sacred text, are my people. The Book of Mormon speaks to us. It speaks about us as Lamanites. I always marvel at the way the Book of Mormon teaches us about the role of our people in the last days. The promises contained within this book about the Lamanites are nothing short of extraordinary. In Mormon 5:6, it says that we are told in the last days, the Lamanites will rise up and be a people of strength, a people who will come to the knowledge of the truth and be united with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a promise that gives me hope and it gives me faith, because it speaks not just about the past, but about our future. The Book of Mormon holds the stories of our people and foretells the days when our hearts will be turned to Jesus Christ himself, when we will become powerful, peaceful, and a faithful people. These promises fill me with pride and purpose and hope, because I know that I am part of that great and marvelous work. There is something really powerful about knowing that these prophecies are speaking to us today. The early Lamanites, like many of my ancestors, may have not have had the privilege of reading this book during their time on earth. Yet, we now have the blessing of reading it today and to see in its pages the fulfillment of prophecies that were made to our people long ago. These sacred words, although written centuries ago, speak with a voice that echoes across time. It's a familiar voice. It's a voice that is especially strong for us today. More times than not, when I look at the world around me, it's pretty easy to see the darkness, if that's what you're looking for. The world in general seems to be turning away from that which is good. We see corruption, anger, division, and the erosion of values that have stood for generations. Our moral compass of right and wrong seems to have disappeared for many. Yet, despite this, the Book of Mormon fills me with hope. The Book of Mormon speaks of the rise of faith in the latter days, speaks of strength and unity, and the power that comes from trusting in the Savior. No matter how evil the world may seem to be, we have been promised that there will be a people who stand firm in faith, who will hold the light of Christ, and who will follow their true identity and purpose. In 2 Nephi 30:6, it says, the Lamanites will be a delight to the Lord. I love this verse because it reminds me there is something beautiful in the promises given to my people. We are not just a people that have been overlooked or forgotten. We are precious in the sight of the Lord. And in the days ahead, when the world is full of challenges and trials, we have the opportunity to rise and fulfill our role in the work of the Lord, just as the Book of Mormon has promised. With or without the church's blessing, may I add. The stories of the Book of Mormon, stories of faith, hope, and miracles, are stories that I hold dear. I love the stories of Nephi's courage in following his family into the wilderness, I love the story of Alma the Younger, whose life was changed through personal visitations from the Savior. My favorite story, though, is about the sons of Mosiah, who were described at one time as being the most vilest of sinners, yet became the greatest missionaries the world has ever known. Who can forget the story of the brother Jared, who through his incredible faith saw the hand of the Lord? These stories were not written for the amusement of ancient peoples. They were meant for me. They were meant for us. They are filled with hope and courage that can be applied in our lives today. I also think about the incredible sacrifices of those in the Book of Mormon who had to endure so much. Their stories teach me to persevere when life is hard, to trust in the Lord when it seems like everything is against us. These people were never perfect, yet they overcame through their faith in the Savior. And in a way, that allows me to see my own story. I see the strength of my ancestors and their trials. I feel the Lord's hand in guiding us through our challenges today. I suppose what I love most about the Book of Mormon is that it is written for us, for our day, for our struggles, and for our triumphs. I can't help but think of the prophecy of Crazy Horse before he died. I believe he was a prophet when he said this: "Upon suffering beyond suffering, the red nations shall rise again, and it will be a blessing to a sick world, a world filled with broken promises, selfishness, and separation, a world longing for light again. I see a time of seven generations when all the colors of mankind will gather under the sacred tree of life, and the whole earth will become one circle again." And here's the part I love. "In that day, there will be those among my people who will carry knowledge and understanding about unity among all living things. And the young white ones will come to those of my people asking for this wisdom. I salute the light in your eyes where the whole universe dwells. For when you are in that place within you, and I am in that place within me, we shall be as one." I don't know about you, but I think the words of Crazy Horse were written for us today. I think they're prophetic. And I think he was like many Native American leaders who went before, and what I believe many Native American leaders who will come again. As we come to the end of the study of the Book of Mormon, I find it fitting that Mormon and Moroni were given the sacred responsibility of hiding up the record, but giving us the final counsel for what will help us in these last days. As they looked at the state of their people, they didn't just see their own people in this time of history. They had a remarkable vision and insight that extended to our day. They both could see the struggles and the pride and the divisions and the challenges that their people faced. But I think they recognized how similar that those same challenges would be for us today. One of the remarkable things about Mormon and Moroni is that in their wisdom, they saw not just the world that they lived in, but they also saw the world that we would live in. They understood that the issues and trials that they were going through were not just a part of their time, but would be a part of every generation. His counsel is not just a reflection on his time, but a timeless message for every one of us. Mormon had lived through a time when his people had grown cold in their love for one another. It's kind of like our world today, where divisions are deepening and the people were becoming increasingly self-centered and contentious. Moroni's insights were remarkable because it echoes the struggles we see in our own society. We live in a time now where there's division, anger, a lack of peace among many individuals and groups. Many people have forgotten the teachings of Jesus Christ, how to love one another, how to forgive one another, and how to build up instead of tear down. There's a lot of negativity and judgment and divisiveness. But Moroni saw in his wisdom this exact type of environment where the followers of Christ must rise above. He calls on every one of us to be peaceable followers of Christ. We are not to become like the world around us, but we are called to be an example of peace, love, and kindness. This message feels urgent for me today. The world that we live in can be overwhelming, full of people who are quick to criticize and judge. But I think we have a higher calling to be like the Savior. We even when he was faced with suffering, he showed compassion and patience and understanding. For me, to be a peaceable follower of Christ does not mean that we're passive or silent in the face of injustice. It means we need to not let hatred or anger dominate the feelings in our heart. We need to approach the world with the same love that Christ has shown, especially when things get hard. For me, to be a peaceable follower of Christ is to live with purpose, guided by his light and love. It's to embrace truth and clarity as fundamental principles that shape our actions and our relationships. And ultimately, it is to reflect the Savior's peace in our lives, becoming witnesses of his redeeming power and endless love. And finally, to be peaceable followers of Christ, understand that peace begins with us as we internalize the light of Christ and cultivate charity. We find that our hearts are changed and our perspectives are shifted. As we become more focused on others and less concerned about the world, that inward peace will allow us to face life's challenges with faith and hope, knowing that the Savior walks with us. It also equips us to be more peacemakers in our families and communities and beyond. As I look back on the life of Moroni, we can see that his faith was tested far beyond what most of us have ever been asked to endure. He served a mission among the Lamanites. He survived the great battle at Cumorah, and he received the sacred responsibility for the Book of Mormon and other sacred records. The fact that he outlived his entire nation must have meant to him that God had a purpose for him that was more than just pure survival. One can only imagine the emptiness and utter abandonment that Moroni must have felt when he was left alone to write the sad tale of the destruction of his people, unsure whether he would be the next to perish. In that moment, he wrote, "My father hath been slain in battle, and all my kinsfolk, and I have not friends nor whither to go. And how long will the Lord suffer that I may live, I know not." Under these extreme circumstances, Moroni had to exercise great faith just to survive. He had to believe that he could fulfill his father's desire to complete the Book of Mormon. And as a result, we see that Moroni, after passing the trial of his faith, received the second comforter. When he said, "I have seen Jesus, and he hath talked with me face to face." He went on to say that, "Behold, the Lord hath shown unto me great marvelous things concerning that which must shortly come. Behold, I speak to you as if ye were present and ye were not. But behold, Jesus Christ has shown you unto me, and I know your doing. That was specifically said for us today. The final chapters of the Book of Mormon speak of the enduring power of faith and hope, no matter how difficult the world seems to be around us. We can hold on to the faith that Heavenly Father and His Son Jesus Christ have. The trials and struggles that we face in this life are temporary, but the power of Christ's atonement is eternal. It's easy to become overwhelmed by the difficulties of life, the challenges that we face in our families, our health, and in our communities. But Mormon and Moroni remind us that hope in Christ is the anchor that will allow us to remain steadfast. Mormon chapter 5, verse 12 teaches us, "Wherefore I would that ye should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in good works." In the midst of adversity, we can be firm in our faith and find peace by turning to the Savior. Faith in Christ is more than just a belief. It is something that we must continually cultivate. As we put our faith in Christ, we are strengthened. Hope is also a powerful force that comes from trusting God's promises. Hope helps us to see beyond the present moment, allowing us to endure the trials with the knowledge that Christ is always there to help us. But I believe that the most central message that Mormon and Moroni are teaching us about is the atonement of Jesus Christ. The atonement is the foundation of our faith, our hope, and our ability to overcome anything in this life. The atonement allows us to be healed from sins and sorrows, to rise above our imperfections, and to move forward with confidence. Without the atonement, we would have no hope. We would be lost, unable to return to our Heavenly Father. Mormon's message to his son Moroni reminds us that this power is always available to us. Whether we are facing personal challenges or struggles, or seeing the difficulties in the world around us, the atonement can be our source of strength.
Our great loving God, we thank thee for our brother Darren and for the wisdom and grace with which he speaks in the example of his life. We are grateful for these joyous reminders to be steadfast and immovable in our acknowledgement of Christ as our Savior and Jesus as the Son of God. We pray for thy blessing during this holiday season, that we may be able to discern between all the distractions what the true hope of our lives on this earth and through eternity are based on. We are grateful for the love that we feel from thee. We are grateful for the example of Brother Darren. We pray that we may be of service and of love to our brothers and sisters through this holiday season and throughout our quiet and bustling moments. And we say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Greetings, my name is Rebecca DeSchweinitz, and I'm thrilled to serve as a board member at the Dialogue Foundation and as one of the hosts of Dialogue Gospel Study. In each episode, which we record live the second and fourth Sunday of every month, we welcome esteemed speakers from a variety of backgrounds to share their insights and perspectives on the Come Follow Me lessons. Our aim is to spark meaningful conversations about the scriptures, to connect them to our personal experiences and to our understandings and explorations of the gospel. To stay in the loop with our upcoming lessons and this opportunity to engage with Mormon thought, culture, and belief, be sure to visit dialoguejournal.com and sign up for our newsletter. By doing so, you'll receive updates and timely links to join our live stream lessons. Additionally, you can catch up on our past guests and episodes by subscribing to Dialogue Journal on YouTube, Facebook, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dialogue Podcast Network.